Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
You know, every time one of them is asked, or all of them on a stage somewhere, you know, whether they believe in climate change, they all say something like, well, I don't know, I'm not a scientist. That is the easily most obvious question to be answered. Go talk to a scientist. And actually, listen, you can go to UNLV and meet some scientists who will help them understand why climate change is real. You can look out the window in Las Vegas and see snow, and you can realize it's real.
Hello, infidels. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Can you believe this creature is running for the presidency? You can look out the window and see snow in Las Vegas and know that climate change is real. I guess this carpetbagger doesn't recognize the fact that there's been snow on the peaks of the Sierra Nevada mountains long before her and Bill stormed across America. But that's not the issue of the day. It just is such a sad state of affairs, isn't it? That a woman of this low character and this low intellect would actually be the leading candidate in the once really great Democrat Party. I say great Democrat Party because there have been great Democrats. Not in at least 150 years, but there have been some. I heard about them. The topic I really want to talk about, though, is not the insanity that passes for the Democrat Party, but an article I read this morning from the man who created the 2008 market collapse, George Soros. Now, I say that not with a degree of chagrin. Many people believe it was Soros, the money changer in the temple, who caused the 08 collapse, who is now warning that it's 08 all over again. And he said that there's a crisis in global markets that echoes 2008, and that trillions of dollars in funds have disappeared and have been lost over the last few days. This is probably the most important topic, given that no matter which side of the aisle you're on, money is money. And if we do have another collapse, which could happen, look at China right now, we have to ask ourselves, why is it happening all of a sudden? As Obama's term winds down, he's doing it again. Who's he? Soros. Many people believe that it was George Soros who manipulated the markets along with others and caused the collapse, that caused the upheaval in American politics, that gave people the idea that Bush was a disaster, which he was. And we will try anybody, even an unknown guy from Chicago as president, who seemed to be honest. Look with how that worked out. However, I want to remind you that it wasn't George Soros alone. And I have to refer back to two books ago, Trickle Up Poverty. I'm not selling a book. I am presenting ideas. It's important you understand what I'm about to say to you. Elimination of the uptick rule was initiated by a Republican named Christopher Cox. It's in my book, Trickle Up Poverty, right? In the book, I referred to the fact that it was a Republican named Christopher Cox who eliminated an important rule which enabled the stock market crash in 08. You see, Cox eliminated the so-called uptick rule. What's the uptick rule? Soros was one of the people who lobbied Cox to change the rule. The uptick rule said that if a stock is sold short, it can't be sold short again until shares of the stock have been purchased and its price goes up. And by eliminating the uptick rule, Republican Christopher Cox and his Confederates made it possible to sell any stock short over and over and over again without its having to be bought at all, and its price increased after every short sale. So what that means is that Soros and his anti-American cronies could then drive the stock market down with nothing to impede its decline. It was the final straw, the reason the market was able to crash as it did with nothing to stop its downturn. Now, George Soros is the issue. You have to ask yourself, why would George Soros give this interview on the market all of a sudden, saying that global markets are facing a crisis? investors have to be cautious. This is the fox in the henhouse situation, as far as I'm concerned. And people's comments on the article are very interesting. Someone wrote and said, you can bet Soros is playing the currency markets. Experts think Russia's currency has bottomed or nearly bottomed, that it'll gain 20% or more in 2016. And they're betting that Soros will put his money into the ruble. And someone said, bad prediction, Mr. Soros. With all due respect, Obama says he's fixed the U.S. and global economy, and everything is rosy now. His final SOTU address intends to reiterate that and describe how the progressives have it all back under control now after Bush messed everything up. Another one wrote, why is this devil still in America? And things like that. But the fact is, nobody should trust George Soros, in my estimation. I believe he's one of the most dangerous people in modern American history, in fact, in modern world history, who has put his profits above every other consideration. Now, in that, he is not alone. But he has more power in doing that than most people on Earth. He was the man who almost broke the British pound by betting against it and making $1 billion. He bet against the Malaysian currency, drove the currency to near bankruptcy levels. He set off a storm of Muslim anti-Semitism in an otherwise neutral nation. He's done some very dangerous things on the planet. And now he's giving a speech, an interview rather, which says that it's 2008 all over again. That's one major topic. And in a moment, we're going to play a conversation. In case you never heard George Soros' voice, we're going to play a conversation he had with a Reuters reporter named Chrystia Freeland on the future of Europe for the Institute of New Economic Thinking in April of 2015. And I'm going to play it just so you'll hear him, so you can put a voice to the devil. Listen now to our good friend and lover of American values, lover of Europe, lover of European borders, George Soros.
The global governance is failing. And you have all kinds of crises all over the world. And instead of, and they might be solvable by themselves, but actually they fester. They don't get solved. And they accumulate. And they are all interconnected in a reflexive fashion, affecting the others and being affected by them.
In that sense, he sounds just like any typical... he sounds like a sort of grandfather of Colonel Sanders' relative, Bernie Sanders. George Soros sounds like... Well, he sounds like Bernie Sanders' father might have sounded, with all due respects to the deceased Sanders, assuming he's gone to his rewards. But, you know, just being comedic in the political theater has its limitations. Another player in this financial meltdown that's coming is leftist financier George Soros, who I said in that book, I'm telling you the name of the book again, Trickle Up Poverty, 3 books ago. And I wrote then that many people believe he's been trying for decades to manipulate American politics to the advantage of the Marxists with whom he is in league. I wrote, it seems to me that Soros tried to rig the 2004 presidential election in favor of John Kerry. And then I ask how he did it. By pouring tens of millions of dollars into Kerry's campaign coffers and into building anti-capitalist, anti-democratic organizations such as MoveOn.org. And in spite of that massive investment, Soros was unsuccessful. But did he give up? Far from it. He then put Obama in office, and it was Soros' money that has funded and continues to fund the riots in Ferguson. It's Soros' money that is funding a lot of the unrest in Europe and a lot of the unrest in America. So I have to ask a question. Why would he say it's 2008 all over again and the markets are at the beginning of a crisis and trillions of dollars have vanished? Why would George Soros say that now, at this juncture, in 2016 of January 2016? Why would he say it all of a sudden? So that's a topic I think is worth talking about, because even Democrats understand that money is important, right? Now we have another topic, which is Obama's fake tears, which we're going to talk about. There are people who are speculating that he rubbed menthol into his eyes in order to produce the crocodile tears. Cheryl Chumley of The Blaze wrote this to me, and she gives evidence that during his speech, the actor in the White House raised a hand, extended a finger, wiped his left eye, and the American public is transfixed by the sudden show of emotion. And she asked, is Obama crying? Is he shedding tears? Well, she says Obama didn't just flick his finger at his eye. He wipes downward across the lid and then runs his finger along the whole bottom rim, following the line of the lashes. Then he blinks eight or so times. Obama then pauses, lowers his head, and with hand cupped, thumb and forefinger bent, partially covers his mouth once, twice, classic tells of lies, then shakes his finger for emphasis and speaks again. And he says, every time I think about those kids, it gets me mad. Reaching up and wiping the corner of his other eye, the right one, with a quick motion. Mission accomplished. The left eye is now wet all around. Cameras got the shot. Time to move on to policy. And so there are people speculating now that he wiped menthol in his eye in order to produce the crocodile tears. Now, of course, you can't call on that, but that wouldn't be the first time that a stage actor produced tears on demand. Now, here's another topic that I want to talk about, and it's an interesting one to me as a trained, well, let's say I'm very well trained in this field. I saw an article, analyzing kids' hair may help predict risk of mental illness. Caught my attention, because I'm interested in hair analysis. I knew about it back in the 70s, obviously. It was very big. It was used by people in the alternative medical world. They would clip your hair and send it out for analysis and look for heavy metals and look for other mineral deposits that should or shouldn't be there, or levels of mineral deposits. So the article says kids' hair may help predict a risk of mental illness. And then they go into the fact that Australian researchers have found that the number and types of traumatic events experienced by kids earlier in childhood, injury, severe illness, death in the family, correlate with the levels of the stress hormone cortisol in their hair. Now, what does it have to do with anything? A bell went off in my head when I read this, because I remember reading in the 70s, when I was very deeply into this subject, that on analysis, almost all suicide victims have elevated cortisol levels. And I started to think about this. Cortisol, the stress hormone, naturally produced. I know that cortisol levels fluctuate during the day in all of us, and they rise during the morning and they drop very low in the evening. They are most commonly assessed via saliva, urine, or blood tests. However, hair samples are easier to obtain and may provide doctors with a picture of total cortisol throughout the system. And what does it have to do with you? Well, it has a lot to do with us, because hair cortisol levels may serve as a reliable marker of trauma exposure in children and indicate those at risk of developing psychosocial and behavioral problems. However, that's not what I wanted to talk about. I wanted to, at some point in today's program, tell you that there are common nutrients that can be used to lower cortisol levels in any person. And it's very important if you're a person under a high stress, in a high stress lifestyle, okay, and your cortisol levels are elevated, you can lower those cortisol levels using some common nutrients, which I'll tell you about right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO. It is the Savage Nation. If Trump stays on this trajectory, he's president. She's collapsing. She's being stupider by the day. I mean, the speech I played, you can look at the mountains of Nevada from Las Vegas and see snow on the mountains, and that proves there's global warming. Are you kidding me? That's a president in this day and age? She is the Merkel of America. The potato-faced Merkel, who was the most anti-German German in modern history, is the equivalent of Hillary. And if you want this country broken even further, if you want the borders decimated forever, she's perfect. She's the woman for the job. You heard about the sex attacks over the weekend in Germany, or did you? Didn't make it to the New York Times, I know that. But there was a huge sex attack epidemic over the weekend, actually it was over the New Year's Eve evening, where Muslims, Muslim men, immigrants, raped and groped German women, and then laughed at them and mocked them. They called them whores. And the media has covered it up. And worse than the media covering it up, which you'd expect, the German Interior Minister, Rolf Jäger, said that what happens on the right-wing platforms and in chat rooms is at least as awful as the acts of those assaulting the women. So this lunatic liberal compares speech to rape. Can you believe this? This is the same mentality we have in America with the American left. You know that men of Arab or North African appearance raped and groped women in Cologne and other cities on New Year's Eve. And the liberals, if you want to call them that, I call them something else, in Germany and everywhere else in Europe are frightened that the people may actually stand up against this immigration tsunami. And they had the nerve to say that this kind of rhetoric, talking about it even, is poisoning the climate of our society. Well, anyway, you get the picture. German citizens were expressing horror on Twitter that one of their elected officials would compare words on the screen to a series of attacks that includes two alleged rapes and dozens of reported molestations by men of Arab or North African appearance in Germany. Earlier in the week, the mayor of Cologne, Germany, Henriette Recker, promoted a firestorm of ridicule and criticism when she said that women should, quote, obey a code of conduct to avoid being sexually assaulted in the street by these Muslim thugs. What was she saying? You mean the feminists who all, remember in the years gone by in America when people would say she got what she deserved because she was wearing a short skirt? You remember the primitive age in America when some idiots would say a thing like that, justifying the attacker? Well, here is the female mayor of Cologne saying the same thing, that women should cover up when they're around Arab or African Muslim men? This is feminist activism? This is feminine activism?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You have to ask yourself why Trump is surging and why Clinton is collapsing. You know, she has no competition. We know that Sanders is just set up as a straw dog. He's not really running. I mean, no one's going to vote for him except a few lunatics. And I've told you from the beginning that Sanders is actually part of the Clinton strategy to make her look more centrist. So he sounds more and more like a left-wing nut. She sounds centrist, but she isn't. She's a left-wing nut. But you can take out the word left-wing and just leave the word nut. She makes statements that are sounding more and more bizarre. Snow in January is proof of global warming. Now, here's another one you're not going to believe. Listen to clip three of the candidate who will run against Trump and tell me why you would select a lunatic like this.
We have spent many hundreds of billions of dollars tightening the border security on our southern border. And we do have barriers in a number of places. The terrain is very, very difficult. But the more important question is, would we ever really send the police after 11, 12 million people living in our country, rounding them up like some kind of bad movie from World War II? No, I don't think we will.
No, I don't think we will either. But here's what's going to happen. When Donald Trump wins and he starts the construction of the wall, which the American people want, in an overwhelming majority, probably 65 to 70% of the American people, want a wall on the southern border, Democrat, by the way, and Republican, by the way. Once the wall goes up, the flow will stop coming in from the south. That's number one. It will deter future waves of terrorists and immigrants, illegal. It will also encourage those living here to get out before that wall is finished, because they'll be afraid of getting trapped here behind enemy lines, so to speak. Now, if you think that Trump can win, there's an article out today that's very interesting that even the head of the, I don't know what to say other than the SEIU, when the minute you say Service Employees International Union, you have to think radical communism. You have to think fascist communism, because the two work together. This is the same union that put Jerry Brown in power against the will of the Californians. They own the illegal alien vote. Well, the head of the SEIU herself is worried about what Donald Trump is doing because she thinks that 64% of her 2.1 million members like him. in an interview with the lifetime left-wing fanatic David Axelrod, who is Obama's brain. You heard me. David Axelrod is Obama's brain, just as they used to say that Karl Rove was Bush's brain. Axelrod is Obama's brain, and Axelrod is a lifetime street organizer. So she goes on his podcast, and the head of the union, Mary Kay Henry, said that they're terrified of Trump, because listen to what their polls say. She says, well, I think he's touching the vein of the terrible anxiety that working class people feel about their current status, but more importantly, how terrified they are for their kids not being able to do as well as they have, never mind doing better. The head of the union went on to say, you know, so that broken sense of the future and that emotion having an easier appeal to fear than to what's possible is what we found is why, I don't know what she's talking about. She sounds like Debbie Wasserman Schultz. She must be drinking the same toxic seltzer. We're doing one-on-ones with every one of our members right now in this period. Listen now, because 64% of our public members identify as conservative and are much more interested in the Republican debate than the Democratic debate at this moment. Listen to what she just said. Here's the head of this left-wing juggernaut that put Obama and Jerry Brown in power. The SEIU, according to their own polls, shows that 64% of their members identify as conservative. Do you understand what's going on in this country? Do you understand that there's going to be a landslide against Hillary? It'll be a landslide against Hillary, not a landslide for Trump, as much as it will be a victory for Donald Trump. It will be a landslide against the policies that are destroying the West, more particularly the economies of the West, and more particularly the social fabric of the West. Now let's go to some callers on the Savage Nation. Infidels, I now open up lines at 855-400-7282. If I haven't heard from you in years, now is the time to get online. 855-400-7282. 855-400-SAVAGE. Let's begin in New York City with Ruben on WABC. Ruben, what's your comment?
Hey, my comment is, first of all, I really am just really, like, astonished about all the stuff of being on your show because I really love your show. I listen to it every day.
All right, okay, please. Now, the call screener shouldn't have had you on. Have a nice day. Take a walk. Go call Ding Dong School. Great job there, putting a child on. I really love child callers. You know, I'm one of the few shows that doesn't take children callers because children should listen. They're not here. We're not here to listen to children. When I was a child, I grew up, we were told children were there to listen, not to tell us anything. Now the society's upside down. Everyone thinks a child has some magic wisdom, the liberal idea. Children have magical wisdom. They have perfect knowledge. They know nothing. They may be beautiful. We may love them. But they don't know anything. That's what they're called, children. I was watching a show last night on rehab. It got me very disturbed. Sometimes I watch Intervention just to get mad at the junkies or the drunks. And I get so angry at them that I have to pay for these self-indulgent drug addicts or these self-indulgent drunks. It gets me so PO'd, you can't believe it. All they do is talk about their drug addiction. Then they go into rehab, which I pay for. Then they come out and they buy the drugs, which I pay for. Then the robberies I pay for. The extra police I pay for. And they glorify drug dealers on Nat Geo. Every other show on Nat Geo is about some dirtbag drug dealer with a bandana on selling drugs somewhere in America. I'm getting so angry watching television. So last night, to get angry, I watched television on this subject. It was on another channel. I think this was an HBO special now. Again, glorifying a day in the lives of heroin addicts, and Cape, the Cape of Massachusetts, Cape Cod. And it shows middle-class white kids hooked on heroin. And the whole show was indulgent, self-indulgence. I want to get off it, but I can't get off it. I don't want to get off it. I like it. I want to stay high. I like getting high. And there are no consequences. They go in and out of rehab. They don't work for a living. I don't know where they get the money for their apartments. And then they flash to the parents. The poor mothers were in a support group for junkie children. The mothers of junkie children. And it could rip your heart out. These are beautiful, nice, plain Jane, middle class women. And many of them say that they're actually responsible for their son's heroin addiction. By the way, almost all of them started because of Big Pharma producing oxycodone, which, by the way, should be eliminated as a drug. Oxycodone is probably the most dangerous chemical ever invented. It is more addictive than heroin is. But nevertheless, oxycodone is how they all got, many of them got started, by getting these pain pills, crushing them up and inhaling it, you know, snorting it. And it led them to a heroin addiction, because heroin is cheaper, thanks to immigration, thanks to the open borders of George Bush, thanks to the six superhighway lanes from that George Bush created under NAFTA. Heroin from Mexico is cheaper for these junkies than oxycodone, which is $30 a pill. You see what I'm saying? This is a very big topic, and no one's talking about drugs anymore. Did you notice that drugs were once a topic? Go back to Nancy Reagan. Remember? Just Say No. Remember when drugs were a topic in this country? Can anyone explain to me why drug addiction is no longer a topic in any of the debates? Why? Is it that everyone's on drugs? One kind or another? Is it that most Republicans are on antidepressants? And most liberals are on marijuana and heroin? I don't know what the answer is. Was the whole country drugged? Am I the last person in America who simply drinks alcohol at night? Which I do, and I don't boast about it, but that's all I do. Because I can... Why do I choose alcohol over other drugs to reduce stress at night? I have a martini at night. That's what I drink lately. I mix it. I had my assistant for New Year's Eve buy me a gift. I said, get me one of those martini shakers. The single hand job. So what is the big deal? I put in a shot of vodka or two with ice. I squeeze a lime, half a lime, half a lemon. I mix the thing up with one hand. I pour it in a martini glass. I have one drink, and that's it. Why? Because I can titrate the amount of alcohol I'm taking in. I know my limits. I have no desire to get drunk. And that's it. The other drugs you cannot titrate. You don't really know the levels you're taking, and they're far more addictive than alcohol. Secondly, not to sell you on booze, but alcohol happens to be water-soluble. Marijuana is fat-soluble. Marijuana stays in your system for months, if not longer. Many of you don't know that. And don't call me. I know the dopers call the minute I started with this. All the stoners call the show. I don't want to hear from you. Well, leave me alone. Go back to rehab. If you have nothing better to do, go back to rehab and take yoga. Get your sweatpants out and go to Naked Yoga. I hear they're opening a class in Manhattan very soon. The topless yoga class begins this Sunday. I didn't mean to talk about it, but why are we not talking about drugs? We have a drug epidemic in America that is killing our children. Why don't we ever talk about it? The causes, the effects, the solutions. What are the solutions to the drug epidemic? See? 855-407-282. We've got some nice callers now. They're sticking their noses into the tent. I know it's early in January. It's only the 7th of January. People are not that political. Most people are still on vacation. I don't understand who works anymore. I work. My producers work. People at Cumulus are working. Where is everybody? They're still in Lake Tahoe skiing. Doesn't anyone have a job? They go away last week for a whole week with the kids, and they keep them out of school another week, and they bring the children back, and the children are dummies in school. They don't know why. Then they put them on Ritalin, or they put them on Adderall, or they put them on another drug, and they wonder why Johnny can't learn. The kid is either on vacation or on drugs. No wonder he can't learn. How is he going to make a living when he grows up? Answer, he won't. Then who are you going to blame then? You going to blame Democrats? 855-400-7282, phone number. MichaelSavage.com website, mascot of the show, Teddy Savage, right under my feet, laying on the hot wires. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COR. It's going to be quite a sleigh ride this year. I got to tell you, you know, it's early January. Everyone knows that the election is in November. But the thing is, you know, you want to hear about this every day? We're going to hear about it every day. Trump's on a victory ride. I believe Hillary's sinking very rapidly. Every poll indicates that even minorities like Trump. And the reasons are the ones I expressed to you last week. I think that it's original to me. Others have copied it since then. I will repeat them. Why do Hispanic men in particular not like Hillary Clinton? And why will they likely, behind closed doors, that's why we have a secret vote in America, because they can do what they really want to do without anyone knowing it. It's called a secret ballot. In a fascist nation, you don't have a secret ballot. That's how unions operate. Unions for years had no secret ballots. They made you vote openly so they can crucify anyone who didn't go along with the union boss. So Hispanic men, they may say one thing on the work site, but when they get in that booth, if they vote, they're going to vote for Trump, and I will tell you why. Hispanic men adhere to a macho culture. macho cultures do not respond to old women harping at them, telling them how to lead their lives or what to do. They just don't like women bossing them around in plain English. And Hillary is a bossy old white woman. They're not voting for her. They'd rather have a rich white man who they know will probably do more for the economy and their work than anyone they know. That's all. It's that simple. They like wealth. That's what they're here for. They came here to build wealth. So who are they going to vote for? Some idiot who's destroying wealth? No. That's number one. And the same goes, I think, for the African-American male. They don't like a white woman telling them what to do. And as a matter of fact, they'd rather have a rich white man running the country than a female of that nature. Let's put it to you that way. I'll be very classy about it. So I personally think that if the election were held today and it was a head-to-head between Trump and Hillary, it'd be a, who knows, 75-25, unless the, you know, the votes were rigged. It couldn't be 70-30. That's about it. She'd lose in a landslide. It would be, oh, they'd be shocked. Just like they're shocked that you bring in a million men of military age to Europe who are sexually frustrated without women, and they start raping. They didn't know that would happen. Shocking. Reuters could never figure that out. 855-407-2822. We're talking about so many topics, I can't even summarize them. But I do think I'd like to talk about drug addiction, because no one's talking about it, and I don't know why. I don't know why it's not a topic. Why is no one talking about the scourge of drugs on our youth? It's killing us. It's killing our children. And no one's talking about it. Now, there are things that can be done. Old Savage has some solutions. You can start with the source of the oxycodone, the pharmaceutical companies, and prohibit the manufacture of those drugs. That's number one. I mean, cut it off at the supply. Listen, I got to tell you something. At my master's level in training, I was studying pharmacology with one of the great men in the history of pharmacology. He was the former research director of Dow Chemical. Doesn't make me a great chemist, but I know a little bit about the subject. And the fact of the matter is that you may not be aware of it, but that heroin was a synthetic derivative that was developed to get people off morphine. Did you know that? Big Pharma at that time created a drug to treat a morphine addiction. It's because the West was so addicted to morphine. In all of its manifestations, it was legal. People were using it all the time, and they were becoming addicted. And they didn't know how to treat the addiction. So the chemists developed a modification of morphine. They modified the acetyl molecules. I think a 3,6-diacetyl morphine is heroin, if I remember it at all. In other words, they made a synthetic morphine called heroin to get people off of morphine. And as you well know, heroin is more addictive than morphine is. Then what happened later on in the mid of the last century? What did pharmaceutical industry, what did the industry develop to get people off heroin? Do you remember which drug was being given out in clinics across America and is still given out, where heroin addicts have to go in and drink the stuff? It turned out that that was more addictive than heroin. So, you know, it's one drug after another, and you have to start with the drugs and then work your way down. You also have to start punishing the drug dealer, not the drug taker. I'll be very clear about that. It's frankly heartbreaking to see the police doing their jobs, yes, but harassing the drug user. Because to me, the drug user may be a criminal, but unless you catch him doing a criminal act, he's not a criminal. And to criminalize the use of drugs, to me, is a crime. The crime is selling the drugs. And that's where the crime needs to be punished much more severely. The dealer, the supplier, the importer, that's where the crime is. That's where I think you need to focus on, but no one's talking about it. Why is no one talking about drug addiction when it is a scourge that's killing our youth? How come the great president of the United States had nothing to say the other day about the scourge of drugs on our children? Why? Think very, very carefully. Think very, very carefully where the campaign funds come from. Think about the cozy relationship between pharmaceutical lobbyists and government spokesmouths, and then you'll have your answer. Everything is bought and paid for in the United States of America. Virtually every idea that you hear, except mine, are the result of lobbyists.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Of course, this is the theme song of the entire Obama administration, ex-hippie druggies, some of them, of course, still addicted to Prozac, no doubt. I would guess, I'm guessing, though, by their behavior, many of them are on medication. The statements make no sense. The benign smiles in the midst of disasters make no sense. It's as though we're living in two different universes, one of the average person and one of the idiots who are running the country. Nevertheless, I want to talk about the topics of the day, which include drug addiction, based upon the show I saw last night. I think it was on HBO, about heroin addiction in Cape Cod, Massachusetts. And I didn't have any sympathy at all for the drug addicts. You know what I felt? Let them all take a hot shot as far as I'm concerned. I'm so sick of the indulgence on these shows like Intervention, I want to scream. No one ever told these brats to stop it, to do anything. I feel it's just, it's indulgence, the whole thing. I don't have sympathy, I'm sorry, for addicts. I don't. And that goes for alcoholics as well. Don't think I'm justifying alcoholism. I've had doctor friends who've treated every kind of patient, and they've told me that alcoholics are the hardest people in the world to treat. They're harder to treat than heroin addicts, incidentally. So don't think I'm selling alcohol or I'm going soft on alcoholism. But I have no sympathy for addicts, because the rest of us have to pick up the tab for it. And if you analyze it, the treatment industry is a joke unto itself. You see these addicts, heroin addicts in Cape Cod, every so often they get sent to rehab. It's a hotel. They live better than I do. They do nothing all day long except talk about themselves and take yoga and eat good food and play with each other and then play ping pong. What in the heck is our society about? It gets that the weakness is going to... How could weakness cure weakness? Can anyone explain that to me? The weakness of rehab does not cure the weakness of an addiction, in my opinion. So you say, well, what are you suggesting? The opposite. A work regimen might cure them faster than a rehab in a nice, soft, warm bed with four meals and yoga all day long and sitting and holding hands and singing things to each other. I'm sorry, the whole thing's wrong. And by the way, who do you think owns these rehab clinics? Has anyone looked into the corporate structure that owns the big chains of rehab clinics? You'd be shocked to find out who owns them, who's in the business of rehab, and then you may find that the fine line between the drugs themselves and the rehab treatment centers is really not that clearly defined. You may find that there are multiple board members who sit on the boards of Big Pharma and Big Treatment. So we have a problem that no one is addressing. And I believe it's a topic that is fair game for a radio talk show of this size. If I'm on in all these cities and I have millions of listeners, which we do, and this touches virtually every community in America, from New York City to the smallest town in God knows where, drug addiction is a national epidemic on every level. Tell me which candidate last discussed it. Answer, none. Not even the Democrats will discuss it. You think they care about the people and Obamacare. They're not talking about it. And that indicates something to me that is very troublesome. Why are the candidates ignoring the drug epidemic in the United States of America? We heard about guns the other day, but what about drugs? So that's a topic that we can talk about, along with the scourge of immigration and the other problems of the day on the Savage Nation. If you can't join the conversation, don't try, because you can't. Right now, the tent is full. The switchboard is jammed and sold out. Let's take some callers. Hey, KCMO Radio. I haven't heard from you in a while. George, KCMO, are you in Kansas City, Missouri?
Yes, sir.
Great station. Glad to have you. What's on your mind?
I believe the drug addiction has a lot to do with, you can influence people to do what they normally would not do if they are under the influence of drugs or completely not coherent. It's just like having someone wet their pants. If you ask someone to do it when they're coherent, they're going to say no. But if you wait until they're half asleep or drunk and you stick their hand in a bowl of water, they're going to do it.
So what are you suggesting? How do we stop the drug epidemic in America? What would you do if you were in charge of it?
Well, you've got to go with the suppliers. You can't as long as they're going to get supplied the drugs from somebody, they're going to go somewhere else. I mean, you've got to cut the snake off at the head. As long as there's an opportunity.
Well, let's say this. There's an easy solution to one of the drug supplies that hooks a lot of kids on heroin, and that's oxycodone. Don't you think they should stop manufacturing it? It's a deadly drug. It's an absolutely deadly drug, and it shouldn't be manufactured at all.
Well, I've went through back surgery myself, and I've never been on oxycodone or oxyheroin, and I went through a lot of pain. I don't think...
A lot of kids take oxycodone, they grind it up, and they snort it. The next thing they know, they're looking for the next high, and they go and buy heroin because it's cheaper. That is an absolute fact of reality. It's not an invention. And so I would say the first step should be the outlawing of oxycodone. What's interesting, though, is the weasels in the Senate will go after things like soda and fat and cigarettes, but the weasels in the Senate, and I can name every one of them, so far as I know, have not held a hearing on oxycodone. Doesn't that tell you that they're owned by the drug industry?
I would agree.
All right, my friend, thanks for calling. If you care to join the conversation, 855-407-282. This is not the only topic. It's one of them. I brought up another topic, which I'm not going to just drop because I kind of teased you with it. And remember what I said in the beginning of the last hour? Analyzing kids' hair may help predict the risk of mental illness. And the researchers in Australia found that the levels of cortisol in a child's hair samples can indicate the experience of lifetime trauma in children. And it may be a biomarker of lifetime stress or trauma. But the important thing was not whether or not we're producing high levels of cortisol, whether it's children or adults, but what you can do to reduce your cortisol levels, which is the stress hormone. And I told you, I read a study in the 1970s, which set off, I don't know, a real Liberty Bell in my head. I read in the health food literature, which was, of course, confirmed from the medical literature, that on analysis, suicide victims all have elevated cortisol levels, and that certain nutrients greatly lower cortisol levels. Simple, vitamin C, omega-3 fatty acids, and the B vitamins. I'm making it very simple. Can lower cortisol levels. Now, what's related to this question is interesting. Just because suicide victims are found to have elevated cortisol levels, let's say a person jumped off a building and they do the blood work to see if there's drugs or what, and they find elevated cortisol levels, does that mean that the levels were elevated prior to the jumping, that they couldn't take the stress? Or is it that the cortisol levels were elevated during the jump? I don't know the answer to that. That's something that wasn't studied. But I do know this, that vitamin C, omega-3s, and B vitamins reduce cortisol levels, and it's not a bad thing to take anyway on a regular basis, incidentally. No, you're right. In other words, you know and I know that nobody gives up an addictive substance or an addictive lifestyle unless they want to. All the treatment in the world doesn't do a darn thing until the person says, I hate myself, I'm fed up with it. And yet the opposite is taught in rehab. Don't hate yourself, love yourself. I disagree. There's certain things that you should hate in yourself. Don't you agree?
You have to look in the dirty mirror, and you have to realize...
Yeah, I'm saying, but this whole touchy-feely left-wing view that we're all wonderful, we've never done any harm, even if we're the worst person on the earth, we're really not a bad person, and it's not our fault. You're never going to get cured of your addiction if that's what you think.
I think it stems from people wanting to help others and people that have never dealt with the problem. If you've never dealt with drug addiction, it's really hard to tell someone how to fix it, right? So you're just searching for the holy answer of...
So how did you give up your addiction to pot?
I gave up my addiction by realizing I should not be a slave to any substance. If pot is as great as it is, it should not enslave me to its ways, right? I shouldn't have to lean on pot for my own...
How many years were you hooked on marijuana?
I grew up in a low income poverty neighborhood where it was the normal, you know, it was around me all the time. I started when I was probably 15 until the age of 22, and I just realized, you know, it wasn't worth it anymore. I mean, everyone
How old are you now? How old are you now?
I'm 27, and I'm actually a nurse now. So,
I want to give you a tip that you may have already learned from your own experience. You've been off that drug for 5 years, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
But you were on it from 15 to 22, you were on it for 7, correct?
Yes, sir.
You want to hear a metric that is generally true? You have to be off that drug for as many years as you were on it until you no longer crave it. Did you know that?
I believe if you try to quit without understanding why, if you're doing it for other people, I believe that fact. But if you do it understanding that it's more of a holding you back, and you realize if you want to move forward in life, because I mean I'm coming from a long line of losers. I hate to down my family, but they've always been trapped in that it's not my fault, it's other people's. No one's really took that self responsibility.
Right. Everyone, right. I understand the loser mentality. It's someone else's fault.
It's always a reason, you know. It's never I brung this onto myself. So once you see that clear, you realize the steps you need to take to wing off of this stuff, and you realize that.
Wow. I'm amazed by this call, Lurdy. I didn't intend to talk about drugs today, but I went with my emotions on the show I saw last night on heroin addiction in Cape Cod, and I said, you know, I don't have much sympathy for the heroin addicts. They were all self-indulgent children. I had sympathy for their mothers whose hearts were broken. That's who I cared about. And so I thought we should talk about it, and I never expected to get a call like you. I don't know how to tell you how many nasty emails I get on Facebook from potheads who are so addicted to the drug that whenever marijuana is mentioned, they become crazy in supporting it. Why do you think that is? Why do they think they have an obligation to support the use of marijuana?
I believe they attribute the marijuana to opening their consciousness, when in all reality, it's more like a trick on the mind. These same people are the same people that complain and yell at, you know, people that are overweight, people that abuse cheeseburgers. But in their own reality, they're doing the exact same thing with a different substance. It's a different variable that they're using.
Yeah, I remember that in the 60s when pot entered my life, it was because people said pot is a reality trip. Pot opens your mind. Pot gives you a clearer view of the real world. It was all rubbish. It was totally, absolutely, it was all big lies. Well, Lurdy, thank you for being who you are. I mean, I don't know what else to say. You sound like a wonderful person who knows who you are, and you don't need anyone to tell you who you are, but, you know, you basically just gave a testimonial here to millions of people on the Savage Nation. You may have saved many lives just now. You may have turned people around. And I want to send you a gift, which is the only thing I can send you right now. I don't have any ties or footwear or mustache wax. I write books. Government Zero goes to you. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Welcome back, and we're talking about the heroin addiction in America, based upon an HBO special I saw last night. And I'm asking you, why are no candidates talking about the drug addiction problem in America? And then I was reading the news today, and I saw who was killed in Afghanistan, who in the special forces, a very brave, wonderful man named Sergeant McClintock. He's actually a human being with a name, killed by the Taliban. Now, what is Afghanistan and our men being killed there have to do with this? Well, you may not know it, but Afghanistan is the heroin capital of the world. Where do you think the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, get their money to support their terrorist activities, including ISIS? Probably in the long Silk Road drug trade, which is now a scourge on the entire earth. So, you know, you say, well, how is it related? What does it mean? You figure it out. Figure out why we're still in Afghanistan and see which side we're on. See which side we're on. Sergeant McClintock was just killed in Afghanistan. Before that, U.S. Marine Lieutenant Corporal Gregory Buckley Jr., a human being killed in Afghanistan. See who they are. Why are we in Afghanistan? Does it have anything to do with drugs? Some say yes. Some say terrorism. Some say they're one and the same.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Well, they call themselves the Grateful Dead. There's a lot of deadheads out there, probably all working in the Obama administration. I don't know how a deadhead could love America. I mean, the words themselves tell you who they are. But nevertheless, okay, great music, wonderful. It has no effect on the human mind. No. Sugar has no effect on the person. Fat has no effect on the person. No, artificial colors and flavors have no effect on the person. Music has no effect on the person. No, not at all. We're all free spirits to do as we wish. So children have been addicted for many reasons. The drug culture, the music, the films, every movie Martin Scorsese puts out, and a great filmmaker he is either filled with violence, drug use. Same with the other one, Harvey Weinstein. Every movie Weinstein puts out has a gun in it. He's the most anti-gun producer in Hollywood. Hates guns. Hates guns, Harvey Weinstein. Hates guns. Hasn't read the article I posted about the Bielski brothers on my Facebook page. How guns saved 20,000 Jews. I guess that missed Harvey Weinstein's mother. Was probably a fan of the show somewhere in America. She ought to call him up and say, moron, listen to Savage. Maybe you'll learn something and stop producing that pornography. You're ashamed for the family. But okay, I have a fantasy about it. Movies, film, theater, everything is the drug culture, right? Drugs, sex, and rock and roll. Isn't that the mores of the 60s? Drugs, sex, and rock and roll. Well, look where that's gotten us. And what enters the vacuum? The most fanatical throwbacks in the history of the world. The throwbacks who think that cutting someone's head off is less of a crime against God than having sex with someone. This is how sick they are. In other words, let's put it on a scale of 1 to 10. What's worse, having sex with 8 people or killing somebody, cutting their head off? What's worse, having sex with someone or raping children as ISIS does? Do I have to tell you what's going on? The phonies in ISIS that make believe they're such holy rollers? It's all a fake act? I don't care how many times they pray to Mecca. I don't care. Take a look what they do. Not that they get on their hands and knees and pray to Mecca. Look who they are. Look at this filth. What, because they pray to Mecca and hold the Quran, I'm supposed to say that they're holy men? Have you noticed how the left, which hates religion, have you noticed how the left, which has denigrated Christianity for at least 50 years, is oh so impressed with Islam? Have you noticed this? And you can't put two and two together yet. Have you noticed the phony women's movement, which was quick to criticize anyone who said one word about them, has said nothing about the industrial-level rape of young girls by ISIS, or about the New Year's Eve rapes by Muslims in Germany? They've said nothing. Ask yourself why. What does this have to do with the issue at hand, which is drug addiction? The scourge of drug addiction in America. It's all interrelated. It's all related to the mother of all topics, which is the disease, the ultimate disease, which is liberalism. Liberalism is a mental disorder. And once that disease enters your soul, the rest falls like dominoes. And the only cure for liberalism is rationality. I have found that most liberals, as rich as they may be, as smart as they may be, some of them, are immune to reason. Their minds are made up. Don't confuse them with any facts. They don't want to hear about Vostok ice core samples. They just know that the earth is dying from global warming. That's all they know. You show them fact after fact after fact, they don't want to know it. And then they'll tell you that they earn more money than you, so therefore they're smarter than you. Well, by that definition, Hitler was smarter than almost everybody in Europe at the time. He had more power and more money than anybody that he stole from everybody else. So you can't use money as a metric of how smart someone is, can you? I've met some very smart people who are poor. And I met some of the dumbest people I've ever met in my life are very wealthy. The dumbest people I've ever met, some of them are very wealthy. I never met such idiots in my entire life. Now, because they make big money, they think that they know more about your field than you do. And they have evidence in their own brain. And you give them facts, they don't want to hear. So, DRC Radio, John, go ahead. You're up on the Savage Nation. What's your topic?
I was calling about drug addiction and why we don't hear about it now on the campaign trail. And I believe that's because we don't want to ever judge someone. We can't judge what they do. So that if you call it...
In other words, if someone gets up like I do and say I have no sympathy for junkies, that it's their fault that they're junkies, you mean I'm being judgmental?
Exactly. You can't do that. You can't judge other people.
Well, but aren't Muslims the most judgmental people in the world right now? Don't they judge everyone else and say that they're not pure enough?
Yes, but more important...
All of Islam is about judgmentalism, isn't it? How can we have nothing to say about that?
That speaks to a different issue, and that is, if they're anti-American, the left love them. See, it's like anything that is anti-American is okay.
Your iPhone is ringing. I think it's Ray Donovan calling.
That's a buddy of mine calling. So that's the deal, you see. You can't judge people. You can't say you shouldn't be using drugs.
I know. It's only judgmentalism that can save America. We need to start to become judgmental again. Use some judgment. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm asking is use some judgment. It's that simple. Thank you for the call, John. Take your call right now. It may be the drug supplier. I'm joking. Your delivery may have arrived at the front door. The pizza, whatever you ordered. WJR, now there's a station for you. John blew off his friend to keep talking to you. I'm sorry that I hung up, John. Let's go on to the next caller. WJR in Detroit, one of the greatest stations in the world. Robin, thanks for calling. What's on your mind tonight?
My topic is on drug addiction, and I think I have one of the reasons why it's such a problem, and that is because, like you said earlier, it comes from the disease of liberalism. We have to pacify everybody. And I'm a registered nurse, and I actually work in surgery. People who are having surgery, I work in the recovery room where they wake up. And nowadays, everybody gets a big, high dose of drugs for a little tiny bit of surgery. Yes, I'm...
Oh! What do they put them on, oxycodone?
Oh yeah, people today go home with a simple knee arthroscopy that might take 30, 40 minute surgery, scraping out a little bit of the cartilage and the stuff in there. And it's three little tiny incisions. Surgery isn't as hurtful as it used to be because there are smaller incisions now, but they're getting bigger drugs for these smaller incisions. In 1986, my husband was discharged from the hospital with two broken legs, shattered legs, and pins in them and everything, and a broken neck with Motrin for his at-home pain medicine. Today,
I remember those days. They would tell you to go home and take a Motrin. I remember that.
So today, they get a little knee scope or a cystoscopy, which is looking in the bladder. And seriously, it takes sometimes probably less than 10 minutes. And they go home with OxyContin or Percocet. And I'm
why are they giving them such powerful opiates?
What's that?
Why are they dispensing such powerful opiates for such simple surgeries?
Because people are demanding it. We as nurses have to treat people's pain. There was like a shift in this where pain become the most important thing, and the pain is what the person says it is. But
so it's a nation of weaklings, in other words. They don't want to feel a scintilla of pain. They don't want to have any emotional disturbance. And so you have to treat that, is that it?
Right, and common sense tells you when you have surgery, we cut your skin, it's going to hurt. You're going to hurt. You're going to have to get through the hurt. There's other ways besides these powerful narcotics to get you through the pain.
So it's like telling a patient if they come in for these unnecessary procedures, many of them are unnecessary, build up the bill, they're going to get a big dose of candy, like good little children when they leave, which is a little sack of pills, to go home and take for a few days. So who makes money on that? The hospital, the doctor, and the pharmaceutical industry, correct?
Yep.
All right, so it's all profit-driven. This is what happens when a system becomes overly dependent upon profits, and it's been said before, I don't want to just preach to the choir, but that is exactly what is ruining medicine, which is this obsession with the bottom line and profits. It's what ruined the law. It's what ruining medicine is ruining every aspect of our society. I'm not going to sit here and preach as an anti-capitalist because I'm not. But there's such a thing as greed. When greed enters the picture, that's no longer capitalism. That's something else. And I think that the the greedy nature of the entire medical system has something to do with this addiction to these opiates.
Right.
Doctor, WABC, Tony, welcome to the Savage Nation from Line 1. What's on your mind tonight?
On addiction, Dr. Savage, I've been an addiction doctor for more than 10 years. There's only three things that usually get a person off of heroin: going to prison, losing the right to see your grandchildren, or your wife or mistress is leaving you. Other than that, once you're on heroin, you're hooked.
So you really know. You know from the reality of the streets, and you're saying only punishment stops the crime.
One way or another, the punishment, you don't get to see your kids or your grandchildren, your girlfriend or your wife is leaving, or you're going to jail, and you want to stop because you're scared.
Tony, let me ask you, Doc, do they still give that powerful treatment for heroin addiction that I was mentioning, that they take in a liquid? They have to come into the treatment clinic. What was it called? I forgot it already. I don't remember.
Methadone is one.
Methadone. Is methadone still used? Because I know methadone was being sold on the streets just like heroin was, because it turned out to give people a high. Do they still use methadone?
Yep, and they still use now Suboxone, which is made by one of the other drug companies.
Wow. Even though they know that methadone is addictive, they still use it?
Sure do. And they use other drugs, too. Great show. Your screener said not to tell you how good you are. And your books are great. I've read the Ground Zero, so I don't want any of your books. And I've read some of your mystery books. You do a terrific job. Keep it up.
You see, when I get a call like this, it makes my day. I got to tell you the truth. It's not just an average guy telling me that, which would be great. This is a person who's a realist who deals with trauma every day of his life, who knows, you know, black from white, in other words. The guy lives in a black and white movie, incidentally. Any trauma physician is living in a black and white movie. There's no color in his life. I appreciate that call. I thought about that. Lately, I've been living in a black and white film. I don't mind the film noir life. I've always found it rather romantic. But every once in a while, I wouldn't mind a little, a little bit of the rainbow to re-enter my existence. Something is so bad in this country right now. You know, I'm a guy, you know that. If you've listened to me for years, you know, many of you relate to me almost like a friend. And I want to go into a big, you know, a personal thing here, but I think light has gone out of the nation. Joy has gone out of the nation. There's very little joy and light. The rainbow is shriveling up to some monochromes here. Very few, little color left in the country. What do you think is doing it? Don't call and say it's Obama. It's a given he's a vampire and has sucked a pint of blood out of the Constitution as often as he can, but he's not the only reason. I think that the terrorism is finally getting to us. People are running scared. They're afraid not only of the Muslim immigrants, to be very clear, and that's why I almost said O'Trump. That's why O'Trump is doing so well. I meant old Trump, but I almost said old Trump. Trump said no more Muslim immigrants till we can figure out what's going on. What is wrong with that idea? Tell me what's wrong with that idea. We know amongst them, amongst all the jelly beans, if it's 1 out of 100, one of them is going to be a suicide bomber or a terrorist. So you stop the whole importation of all the jelly beans until you can stop this. Period. Why, we need the immigrants? What do we need them for? Put aside Muslim. Put aside anyone's religion or race. I want to know what we need immigrants for right now. You don't. Zuckerberg does, so he can have even more billions of dollars at the end of the year. Every one of them who has pushed the H-1B visa thing, Bill Gates, I don't know their names. All of them that run these huge companies in Silicon Valley and the other tech companies, there's American workers. They want to cut their wages. So they want them to come in from India. Why? Wages. But we don't really need immigrants. We don't need them. We could create a job training program for high school kids, take them right out of high school, right into job training, create technology institutes, and put the kids right in there and make our tech workers the number one tech workers in the world again. Why are we bringing them in from India? Answer, because the pigs that run these companies are so greedy you can't even imagine. I'll be back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUYCO. Well, that's the world we live in. But the fact of the matter is, the drug culture is very much with us. It's not an issue for the politicians, but it's an issue for the mothers. The fathers. The emergency room people, the social workers, the priests. It's an issue for all of America. We never hear a word about it. Whatever happened to the drug problem? Well, we have a drug problem, don't we? But no one's talking about it. They talk about, well, other important topics, terrorism, immigration, the economy. Every minute now about China, China, China. Watch what happens tomorrow. I'll give you a guess. A 60-40. The stock market booms when the big money takes the profit if they get the little guy bails out on his stock. They got everyone to sell Apple at 100. They'll come in and buy it tomorrow. Watch the stock go up tomorrow. Watch.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Now, we'll get to the news in a minute. It's hour three, format changes, but we're going to talk about the news of the day, certainly the collapsing stock market, and I'm guessing tomorrow it rebounds and the big money makes money back. They got all the little guys to bail. And then I started talking about drug addiction because I saw a show last night on HBO on heroin addiction in Massachusetts and Cape Cod, and, you know, I had no sympathy for the junkies. I'm sick and tired of these shows like Intervention. I was talking about that, and we're talking about drug addiction. A doctor called at the end of the last hour who treats drug addicts, and he said there's only one thing that stops people from using drugs, heroin, that is. And he said the loss of a wife. What else did he say? Does anyone remember the loss of a wife? Robert, I don't remember all of it, but it was, going to jail, losing a wife, or seeing their grandchildren. Other than that, nothing will stop the heroin use, you know. And we talked about Big Pharma being involved in the drug industry by producing oxycodone. I mean, you want to talk about a constructive step? Stop the production of oxycodone, one of the most dangerous drugs ever developed. I mean, it wasn't done demonically. It was done to stop pain. But if the addictive qualities of the drug is so great that it's causing an epidemic, a government steps in and stops the production of such a drug. But now enter the lobbyists for the pharmaceutical companies. They buy dinners, they take them on vacations. The next thing you know, there's no talk about stopping the production of oxycodone. Instead, the quislings in the Senate, I can name them, are talking about banning soda, banning sugar, banning caffeine. But God forbid they should talk about the drug epidemic. Now you know how things work in Washington and why America has so little faith in government. And then I got to some, I don't know whether it was me, I said, it feels like the light's gone out in America. And I didn't know exactly where to put my finger on it, you know, how. I didn't know if it's me personally, but I felt like the whole world's become black and white, there's very little color. There's no joie de vivre left in America, to use the French phrase of joy of living. Very little of it. It's not in the airwaves. It's nowhere to be found. I don't mean the manufactured, you know, music stuff or the fake stuff that you see in the newspapers. in general, I don't see the joie de vivre, much of it left in the country. So I'm asking myself what's going on. I think people are terrified of the Muslim invasion. I mean, very bluntly, the terrorism, the Muslim invasion, the open borders from Mexico, the economy being shaky, a liar in the White House that fakes everything he does. You think it has no effect on people? It does. What do you think is causing this feeling of, I don't know, a loss of color in America, so to speak, to put it that way, or the drug topic? Now, here's a new topic that just came up a minute ago. I have to laugh because I made a show about this a month ago. U.S. recruits tech leaders to help disrupt Islamic State group. The White House is dispatching top national security officials to Silicon Valley. Not for breast implants, but to seek the tech industry's help in disrupting the Islamic State group and other extremists. How hard is it for them to say, cut Twitter off in Afghanistan? What do they have to seek the tech industry's help? Tell that pimply-faced owner of Facebook, just turn it off in Syria. But no, we didn't have to go there and have a visit now, a lunch and a visit and a walk and a this and a that and a dinner and a this and a fly in the airplane and a comeback and nothing will happen. At a high-level session, leaders from major tech, internet coming, discuss ways to use technology to stop terrorists from radicalizing people online. How hard is that to do? You turn off Twitter, you turn off Facebook in these countries where there is a which are hotbeds of terrorism, and that's the end of it. Oh, no, no, I have to discuss it now and have a meeting on it. Let's take some callers. KSFO, Mike, welcome. What's the topic? Go ahead, please.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. Hey, listen, so I think Americans feel sad or somber. Like, I think the big picture actually relates back to liberalism, and its tie into the self-esteem movement. Does that resonate with you?
I don't know. What do you mean, the self-esteem movement? How's that affecting the sadness in America?
Like the 60s, 70s, you know, and it's part of like this progressive plank, this social progress. You raise your kids up and you say, oh, you know, you're special, you're high IQ, you're gifted, you know, you're going to be great one day. And then it's exacerbated by the divorce rate. So then you got one parent saying the kid's great, giving them gifts, you know, more gifts from the other parent. And it's just this big mix of great. You know, this kid grows up thinking he's great. Right, and then he gets to adulthood and he realizes maybe he's just a schlub, you know, that doesn't have that much going on. And
No, that's quite. Look, every little boy wants to be a famous sports figure. At least when I was a kid, I wanted to be, you know, big things. And it took me many years to find out what I could do and what I couldn't do. And luckily, I've achieved a certain level of, let us say, achievement. But, you know, for most of us, there's no real achievement in life, and you have to learn to live as a regular person. So what you're saying is most people who are raised to believe they're special, who are not special, get depressed?
I think in the West, I don't know about Europe and Canada, but certainly America. I mean, I was raised that way to a degree, but that doesn't mean you're coddled every second. It could also come with bouts of varied forms of child abuse. So
I'm lucky because my father taught me. I'm very lucky because I expected to be nothing. My father taught me I was worthless and no good. So as a result, anything beyond that was a gift. So I'm very happy with what I have because I was always feeling I'm going to never have anything. I was raised the old European way: abuse, mental abuse, derision, anger. It worked for me though.
I think that's the Asian way too. I think that may be the human way. I haven't researched it, but I think that may be a human thing, not to justify child abuse, but
it wasn't child abuse, but it would be considered abusive today. But you're raising a very interesting point. Asian, what do they call it, the tiger mother? How does she raise a child to do so well? By putting the child down, calling them a moron, telling them to do better. They come home with a 95, she screams at them, why didn't you get 100? See, the American mother doesn't even want the kid to take homework because it may affect their self-esteem. Isn't that what you're getting at?
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody gets a trophy. And, you know, there's even this, you know, this...
I love that. Even the kid who drops the ball is given an award, a gold statue. All right, my friend, I'm sending you a gift called Government Zero. You talk about the biggest zero on the planet. You can find them readily enough in the government. So I don't want to go into this whole issue of the self-esteem, although it's an interesting issue. I want to talk about the drug epidemic and why politicians are not talking about it. And I would like to talk about the light in the country. Am I projecting? This is what I want to know. I'm going to use this show as a Rorschach test. Is it me or is it the country? Am I in touch with the country? Do I sense that people are more? I don't want to use the word, the wrong word. I would say that there's less joy. Let me put it to you that way. That's how I want to put it. I don't want to say depressed. That's a whole different story. That borders already on the medical. I'm saying that there's a general joy that was somehow in America. You could feel it in the streets. I don't see it anymore. I don't feel it anymore. Now, is it me is what I want to know. I'm actually putting myself out on the psychiatric couch for all of America who listens to me, and it's not a huge audience, but whatever it is, are you feeling the same thing? Do you feel that the light has gone out in America or is going out in this country? Tell me. I want to know. I'm not making this up for fun. I really like to know. I'll be back to here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. If you're not feeling the geopolitical situation in the Middle East, if you're not feeling the importation of terrorism, if you're not feeling the vacuity of the political class, etc., you know, maybe there's something wrong with you. But I'm saying, from my point of view, although I've carried political issues on my back my whole career in radio, I mean, we do this for a living. We're not complaining about it. No one's forcing us to do it. If the burden becomes too great or whatever, we quit. That's it. No one hears from us again. There have been some great people in radio who I know of when I first started who actually walked off the air and were never heard from again. I'm not going to name names. I didn't like the guy, but he was a great broadcaster. A local guy. A real nasty piece of work, by the way. He left to feed squirrels in the East Coast. And no one could ever make him come back. And they offered him a lot of, you know, rewards. He wouldn't do it. He had had enough of carrying the burden of the world. But that's not what I'm saying. I'm used to it. But what I'm saying is I feel the world's becoming a darker place. And I want to know if you are. Is the light going out in this world? Or am I just projecting my view from a personal point of view, onto my audience? It's a strange question. But is the light going out or not? Or am I the only one feeling it? Or is it real or am I imagining it for personal reasons? I mean, what's really going on here? Then we talked about drug addiction, heroin addiction, marijuana addiction, alcohol addiction, how the medical establishment is in cahoots with the treatment establishment, which is in cahoots with the drug manufacturers. There are a lot of things that are interconnected here. B.O.B., Jacksonville. Tim, what do you say? Is the light getting dimmer?
Yes, Michael, and I don't think it's just in America. I think it's the whole world. If you look around and you see the news, it used to be when you watch the news, there was something good going on somewhere, even if it was bad somewhere else. Now, everywhere, everything is bad. There's no good news. Everything is just bad.
Okay, so let's talk about bad news for a minute. Is it really bad news or that the news business is only showing bad news for ratings?
Exactly right. That's all they want us to see is what's bad, because you have to look and hunt to find good news.
Well, here's some news that I put on my website. Green Beret killed in Afghanistan was a new father. There's the picture of the guy killed in Afghanistan for Obama's war holding his baby. I'm not making that news up. Or Trump spotlights Islamic rape jihad on women. He's not making it up. The Muslim invaders raped women on New Year's Eve in Germany, and their own government turned on the women. Now, it gets even better. Canadian Children's Choir sings welcome song to Muslim immigrants about the slaughter of Jews. They had a chorus of children in Canada singing a welcome song to Muslim migrants in Arabic, and it was about the celebration of the slaughter of Jews and Christians. So there is a lot of darkness in the world right now, Tim. And a large amount of it is coming from the insane liberals who have destroyed the West and are flooding the West with Muslims in particular. And believe me, this enmity towards Muslims is directly related to terrorism. Make no mistake about it. It's not because the people are inherently racist, but they're inherently wanting to survive. And they don't know which one of them is liable to set off a suicide vest tomorrow. Now, is that irrational, or is that racism, or is that realism?
No, I think that's realism.
All right, well, that's why Trump is surging. Because people are feeling it, for God's sakes. You see a woman walking around with a body covering from the 15th century, and you say to yourself, I don't know what she's going to do. I know she hates me. I know she hates the country. I know she thinks the women around her are whores, and she probably spits on them behind their back. You think people are insensitive because they're wearing a short skirt or a tight pair of pants? You think that they're lower than her because she's wearing a tent that her husband made her wear? Okay, so think about these things. It's having an effect on our society. When you see a potato face like Merkel, the East European communist, bringing in a million migrants, and they go on a rape fest in Germany over New Year's Eve, and their press covers it up, and the lunatics who work for her in the left wing say that the women got what they deserved because they weren't dressing modestly. If this is going on, you think it has no effect on everybody? It does. But I don't know that it's that. I don't know. Then how about the bomb test yesterday? We forgot about it already. Looney. How about Looney, who set off the, quote, hydrogen bomb yesterday, which he talked about? Forgotten already today. It was a bomb test. It was still 6 kilotons. It doesn't matter to me whether it was a hydrogen bomb or not. The U.S. expressed doubts that the communist nation used the hydrogen bomb. But seismic stations registered underground tremors in North Korea caused by a nuclear explosion. So what did I say yesterday? Whether it's hydrogen or atomic or anything else, the trick is to understand why they are doing it now. Why would they set off a nuclear device now, I asked. I said whether it's a hydrogen bomb or not is not the issue. The issue is what's in it for the North Koreans to even conduct a test. And I said you'd have to look to China for an answer. And you'll see that the Chinese stock market has been plummeting, and they've had to rejuggle their currency. And I said this test yesterday was to threaten America in case we're thinking about fighting back with sanctions or tariffs. And I said they're threatening us through their junkyard dog called North Korea. That's in the Savage Nation newsletter from yesterday's show. Now, you could disagree with me, but that's what I said, you know. That's how I see this whole point. You're telling me that has no effect on people?
Oh,
suspects
no.
suspects in Cologne sex attacks claim to be Syrian refugees. Yesterday in Paris, the city of light, knife-wielding terrorist shot dead outside Paris police station. He shouted, Allahu Akbar! On the Charlie Hebdo attack anniversary and tried to stab a cop. So they shot him dead, thank God. They gave the cops guns in Paris. Finally, they're learning that they have to arm their police in France. Just as Obama wants to disarm our police, the French are learning they better arm their police if they want a country at all. Knife-wielding terrorist shot dead outside Paris police station. You tell me the city of light is a city of light today? Ask people who are in Paris what they feel today with their wonderful Muslim refugees marching around with their 15th century costumes, spitting at them behind their backs, cursing them, spitting on the very France that gives them their welfare check. You think people haven't had enough of it? They hate it! They're eating their hearts out over it. And here's Merkel, this potato-faced anti-German maniac. She wakes up after the rape epidemic and says, we must accept migrants are more criminal after opening Germany to 1 million of them. We must accept migrants are more criminal? Merkel, you are the criminal. You and your communist liberal cohorts are the criminal, and you're going to be the death of the West. We don't need Otto Spengler to tell us what you're doing. You are all mentally ill, psychotic left-wing fanatics. And I'm telling you, there needs to be a people's uprising to save the West or it's over. Look ahead and tell me that there's a West that can survive in this culture clash.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It's all fun to listen to, but look where we are today. We opened up the doors of the West and the barbarians have invaded, and now some of us see what's going on, some of us see what's coming, and those who don't see it are still dancing to the devil's delight. Article on my website, Why Are British Kids So Unhappy? Two words, screen time. The telltale blue glow from under the children's bedroom door is one of parents' biggest worries. But it's not easy to take away the phones, laptops, and tablets, they say. The kids are addicted. And the addiction to these devices is probably as strong as that to drugs, since we're talking about addiction. And people are paying attention to YouTube, moronic YouTube videos the kids are watching all night long. God knows what else. With parental controls, they cannot put the tablets down. So the joy has gone out amongst the children over there. Well, I don't know about that. I'd rather talk about adults over here. Why is the light going out here in America? We're getting great callers on that, and I'd like to have your opinion. Unfortunately, we're sold out as usual. We only have 10 open lines, and they're all taken right now. I'd like to just take the callers we have and replace them in a moment and try to get some callers from areas that haven't yet gotten onto the program. So let's go to KSFO in my hometown of San Francisco. Let's go, my friend Rick. Why is there more, let us say, darkness in the world today than previous times?
Well, I don't think it's you, Dr. Savage. I think it is the United States people right now, and I think it has everything to do with the news that's put out by the liberal establishment. It's soul-crushing. It crushes your spirit. It's not what's going on in the world, like what you put on and the truth being seen and how you help people understand. It's more what's behind that liberal content that's actually, I feel, designed to make you feel apathetic, to make you feel useless, and that you can't have an effect. And so what do people do? They look away. They don't have any energy left in them.
But do you think it's the news media that is making up the news? They're not making up the news. I mean, you could become a Pollyanna like some suburban people do and not pay any attention to the news. Would it make you happier to be an ignorant person? I mean, they say ignorance is bliss. Is that the solution?
No, I think there's the right mediums to listen to. I think radio, honestly, example, your show, which really communicates the truth and people can listen to and understand and yet really both sides of things and understand things. However, most people watch NBC, ABC, CBS, all these television stations, and that news, quite literally, I honestly feel it's not doctored. It's just they choose the content and how they want to present it to you, which affects you. It completely affects you. And
let's look at the presidential race in America. In an age of terrorism, in an age of the Middle East exploding because of Hillary Clinton's policies, it is directly, she owns it. She owns the Middle East. She owns the blood in the streets of the Middle East. She owns it as sure as I'm sitting here. She whacked Gaddafi. She celebrated his death. Gaddafi warned the West that Islamic terror would rise if he was killed. She celebrated his death. She celebrated the Arab Spring because George Soros paid for it. People who study these things know that she did this, and here she comes out in her campaign, and what is she talking about? Global warming, feminism, stupid things like this when the world is aflame. Don't you think that's depressing?
I do, and I think that the media plays into it because literally, that's a distraction for the rest of the world to keep them off the eyes from the tensions that are rising with Russia and China. You know, I was at my barber's today, and I was talking about what you just talked about, the H-bomb test yesterday. They looked at me like I was from another planet. They didn't
because it didn't make it to the San Francisco newspaper? What did they talk about in San Francisco in the newspaper today? What was their headline about how bad PG&E is?
I don't read the San Francisco newspapers. Stay away.
They don't even report what's going on in the world. They report about nothing outside of San Francisco. Unless it's part of the stupid skateboarder progressive agenda, it doesn't exist in that idiot rag. Rick, thanks for calling, but more importantly, thanks for listening on my home station of KSMO where I began in radio. Gee, it'll be 22 years this March 22nd. Would you believe that? One night in March. One night in March. It began so long ago. Time has gone by so quickly. It's amazing to me how fast 20 years goes by. And God only knows what the world is going to look like in the world to come. And here we are. EastEnders actress and her sons confirmed dead. I don't know who they are. New York Post. The transgender woman is spending a small fortune to look perfect. Don't know who she is. Alyssa Milano battles Wendy Williams about breastfeeding. I don't know who they are. This is the headline in Murdoch's newspaper. Then we go down, videos, homeless guy has an epic video. Oh, here we go. News. Man wearing fake explosive vest shot dead at Paris police station. Man, not Muslim man. They didn't report he screamed Allahu Akbar before he pulled out the knife and tried to kill. Man, just a Parisian. Just an ordinary Frenchman wearing a fake explosive vest. Let's see. Affluenza jerk's mommy arrives in Texas jail to face punishment. That's as important a story, let's say, as the wholesale industrial-level rape of young girls in the Middle East. No, it isn't, but this is what makes it to the newspaper called the New York Post. Oh, here's one. Women made to run gauntlet in mass sexual attack in Germany. Again, no mention of the Muslim migrants who conducted this attack. Associated Press covers up who did it. An internal report of German police describing how women had to run through mobs of drunken men. And they show the backs of the men so you don't see that they're Muslims and Africans. They want you to think it was just white Germans who conducted this string of sexual assaults. But it wasn't. It was Chancellor Merkel's immigrants who did this. She won't deport the foreigners who commit crimes. The perpetrators of the attack, according to police, were of, quote, Arab or North African origin. And the officials in Germany tell you, don't cast suspicion on migrants in general. Continue to welcome them. Just continue to welcome them. That's all. So you understand that there's insanity running through the West. You understand that Merkel and Hillary are basically sorority sisters in their worldview. And if you think what's going on in Germany is bad, it is what will happen in this country if you elect the other evil twin to Merkel. But is that the reason people feel the light has gone out? Is there a spiritual reason the lights have gone out across the West? Certainly it's terrorism. I look, if you're not feeling it, if you're not sitting with a slight feeling of unease about the Muslim invasion in particular, you're not alive. I'm sorry, it's real. You know it and I know it. And that's why Trump is surging. He's the only one who dared say it. Everyone knows it's so-called the sleeping giant in the room, however you put it. The silent gorilla. I don't know the exact phrase. The 300-pound gorilla in the room that no one wants to talk about. He said it. Because it's insanity to bring in a population amongst whom there is an inordinate percentage of terrorists. Let's put it to you that way. And then we have to add the caveat, certainly not all Muslims are terrorists. But as any Muslim will tell you, there's an awful lot of terrorists amongst the Muslim population itself. Even Muslims who have integrated into this society will tell you that we don't want to bring them in from the Middle East. You do know that. Because it's not the same as the Muslims who came here 30 years ago. They're not all the same. The waves of immigration are totally different. The ones who are coming in here now, many of them have been radicalized from the cradle. This was not so 40 years ago when there was a trickle of Muslims, but they were not the type that came here to conduct mayhem. They came here to lead decent lives and practice their religion. And that's why many people don't understand why this is being done now. It makes no sense. But is that the only reason people are unnerved right now? Certainly not. There are other reasons. And one of them, I think, I try to avoid it, but it's Barack Obama. Barack Obama is such a devious man and so evil at his core that even liberals who voted for him know that he's done damage to the country, and they're uneasy as a result. He's not a liberal. He is a Machiavellian power player who has sucked all the power to himself and rewarded all of his cronies to the detriment of the United States of America. Even true liberals know that, whether it be spying, and I don't have to go through the litany of things that this administration has done and is doing and wants to do. Even pure liberals understand that this man is part of this force of joylessness, let's put it to you that way. And then the excesses of he and his wife, the Marie Antoinette of American politics. 75 personal assistants, and the media doesn't talk about it. One trip after another, $80 million in personal expenses on trips since they became the first family and we're supposed to sit and get down on our hands and knees and bow down to them when they're abusing us with their excesses and their abuse of power. Don't you think these things have an effect upon people who are working every day and paying high taxes? The attack and war on police conducted by that street vermin, Al Sharpton. Can you imagine that you would live in a time that a man as low as that, a rabble from the gutter, would be given a television show and then invited into the White House 35 times, 40 times that we know of, and handpick an attorney general You're telling me this doesn't turn people's stomachs to think that the lowest of society has been raised to the highest positions of power and they're ruining everything they touch? A war on police at a time like this? It goes on and on. I don't have to read every, you know, chapter and verse of what's wrong and why the world is darker, but what is happening is the question. And is it tied into my question of addiction? I don't know. Are the young people feeling the darkness, that there's no future? Is that part of the reason for the heroin addiction? That they feel hopeless? Not about jobs, but about the future at all? Maybe you could argue, if you want to turn it into something else, that some heroin addicts, the young ones, are some of our more sensitive kids, that they're not all, you know, the bad ones. Yeah, you want to glorify, put it into that sense, and maybe they see things or sense things about the future that the other kids don't feel. I mean, I don't want to turn it into that, but think about it. Maybe they feel a darkness is inevitable in our society because of how bad everything has gotten. Maybe that's the problem. I don't really have the answer for you, but I really started this because I saw the show last night on heroin addiction in Cape Cod. And I saw these, it was all white kids, not inner city kids. They all came from middle class homes. And the part that bothered me the most about the addicts was not the whiny brats who were addicts. I couldn't stand listening to them. I wanted to smack them in the face and take the needle away and make them go to a work camp instead of a nice cushy little a treatment facility where they can sit and hold each other's hand and play, do yoga. You know, who's paying for that? Put them in a work camp maybe. Maybe they'll stop whining about life so much. Send them out west to work on a hay farm. You know, these are thoughts I have because I'm more from the other world than you are. I come from a different generation. I'm an immigrant son. I was raised the hard way. My father didn't let me whine. He would basically ridicule it out of me. He didn't let me complain. He didn't let me lie. He would hold me. You know, kids tend to want to weasel their way out of things. Let me be very clear. Michael, did you do your homework? Yeah. Did you do it or didn't you do it? Show it to me. Well, this, don't give me a well, this and a well, that. Show it to me. Why did you get a C? Why did you get a B minus? That's how I was raised. He didn't tell me I was good because I fumbled a football. In fact, he didn't even come to the game. He was too busy working 7 days a week to make a living for the family. So I was raised the hard way. I was raised the old way. I am an immigrant son. As a result, perhaps my worldview does not match your worldview. And on that note, I'll take a quick break.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-26. There is no greater addiction than a kind of political addiction. And one of the most powerful political addictions is liberalism. It's as addictive as heroin. And it blinds you to any other viewpoint. Let me give you an example. In an age when too many Muslims have been connected to terror, in an age where even liberal France, after that slaughter in France, went into mosques, deported Muslims, guess what just happened in New York? Headline, New York Times. Sued over spying on Muslims, New York police get oversight. The agreement to appoint a civilian monitor for police surveillance would restore some of the outside oversight that was eliminated after the 9/11 attacks. So they're going in the exact opposite direction of reality because they have a mentally deranged, or shall I say a mentally disordered, mayor named de Blasio. The man is mentally disordered. All of his opinions are disordered. All of his politics are disordered. And all of his decisions are disordered. So now, the New York Police Department is sued by the ACLU, represented Muslims. In my opinion, if I were president, the first thing I would do is conduct a congressional hearing on the ACLU. Who conducted the lawsuit? Hina Shamshi, director of the ACLU National Security Project. So they took a Muslim fanatic, brought her into the ACLU. She sued the NYPD. And now the NYPD has to answer to a civilian lawyer appointed by the mentally disordered mayor of New York to review intelligence files and report potential wrongdoing to the police commissioner, to the mayor, or a federal judge. What this means is they will not stop a terrorist attack in the near future. This will be another Southern California mass shooting. This will be another Paris attack, as sure as I'm sitting here. This was a class action lawsuit again, brought by the most dangerous group of lawyers the United States has ever seen. One of the first acts that Donald Trump has to engage in is an immediate congressional hearing looking into the ACLU and its possible ties to foreign influence, foreign cash. If they can find that any of the money going to the ACLU is coming from terrorist-related national organizations or international front groups, they can take down the ACLU under RICO statutes. I'd be only too glad to contribute to that discussion. And believe me, there are many lawyers in this country, decent lawyers, good lawyers, who would be willing to take the ACLU down joint by joint, seize their assets, and find out just exactly who is running the show at the ACLU. Any idea why people are sad in the country? Look no further than this decision. Michael Savage, good night.